Good morning. Would you pray with me as we invite, or as we ask God to speak to us this morning? Gracious and loving God, this morning, let your word be our rule, the Holy Spirit our guide, and the glory of Christ our single concern. Amen. So this morning we are looking in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 7 and go through verse 21. I used this scripture with my students a couple of weeks ago, and I had them count the word love, or a couple of them count the word love, and pay attention to how many times it shows up. I think the number we came up with was 27, 28. James, do you remember? James was one of my counters. 28, I think, is what we came up with. So all that to say, there are not a lot of verses we're looking at this morning, and the word love happens a lot. I find that that can sometimes be distracting because there aren't a lot of other words that we're using. So while I won't ask you to count each time the word love shows up this morning, I will encourage you to try not to be distracted by that. So starting in verse 7, this is John writing to a church that has been in crisis for some time. They have been dealing with potential schisms and some heresy and some tough stuff for a church to go through. So he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." So some years ago, I heard a story about relating to this passage that I just love, and it goes something like this. So there's this church, not a huge church, just a small church, years and years ago, while the writer of John was alive, and they got him to come and preach at their church. So imagine whoever, I don't know if you have a star theologian in mind, but whoever you can just imagine being the best guest preacher to come and visit. That's what it would have been like for John to come and visit this church. So they get John to come and be a guest preacher on during their worship time. Everyone's super geeked. It's packed. Everyone is there that day, and time for the message. John comes up to the front, and he says, "Love one another," and he leaves. Okay, so everyone's kind of looking around like, this is a little weird. We usually get longer sermons than that. At least, you know, read some scripture or something, right? But he just said, "Love one another," and he left. So some years go by, and they get him to come back again. So excited about, you know, this great guest preacher who's coming, and he comes up to the front, and he says, "Love one another," and he leaves. So now they're getting a little upset. I don't know how our elders might feel about the fact that they've worked so hard to get this great guest preacher that everybody wants to hear, and that's all that he says. That feels like kind of a letdown. So they get him to come back again because every good story happens in threes. And so he comes back again, and it's time for the message, and he comes up to the front, and what does he say? He says, love one another. And this time, on his way out, an elder gets up and stops him and says, no, no, you are going to say more than this because we have worked really hard to get you here three times, and you need to say more. So he comes back to the front, and he said, until you can love one another, nothing else matters. And it's such a simple message that it can be said in one short sentence, love one another. And this passage out of 1 John 4, it's such a simple message. It's the kind of passage that as I was prepping for the sermon, I thought I could just sit down because that's everything. There's nothing else to say. This message is so clear. It's so simple. But for some reason, the simple, clear messages seem to be the most difficult for us to live out. We like to dig deeper. We like to argue even about the theological intricacies of different passages or different doctrines. And I think sometimes we even use that as a way to hide from the simple messages. But John is so, so clear. He couldn't have used, you know, any simpler language, right? He succinctly writes, God is love. And he says it twice, and just like that, God is love in these few verses. Now, he could have said, God is powerful, right? He could have said, God is order. He could have said, God is justice. And all of those things are true. We know all of those things are true about God. But none of them matter if we don't first understand that God is love. Everything that God does comes out of love. God creates out of love. God judges out of love. God heals out of love. God rules out of love and saves out of love. Nothing that God does happens apart from love. And kind of a danger in this passage is that we use this word love so often, even as many times as it shows up here, that we can take it for granted. It's a basic word in our language, in our culture. We forget the depth and the complexity of what it really means and of the purpose that God uses it for. So John's not writing about love in a theoretical way. He's not writing about it, even talking about our love for God, which again is important, but not the focus of this passage. Instead, he challenges us to think about love, or not to think about love, to show love in a fully experiential way with the flesh and blood people that we encounter every day. It's easy to think that my ideas about love are right. I'm not sure how else to say that, I guess, but instead, what we need to remember is that God is the one who defines love. It's the way that God loves, the way that God shows love, and the way that God preaches about love that really defines what it is. So verse 10 says, in this is love. So here's what it is. Pay attention. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So we know that we're not the ones that define love. God has shown that love is sacrifice. Love is giving up everything, knowing that it may not even be fully received. God has shown up to humanity in such a way that he's put himself out there and said, I know you may even reject me, but I'm going to love you anyway. I know that you probably can't fully reciprocate this love, but I'm going to love you anyways, and I'm going to keep showing up even if you don't fully receive it. So a quick poll, if you don't mind engaging with me this morning. There will be two options. The first one is a hands up. The second one, you can keep your hands down. So first option, if it's easier for you to love God, go ahead and raise your hand. If it's easier for you to love people, go ahead and keep your hand down. Love God, easier, hands up. love people easier, hands down. Now, don't lie to me. Come on. Be involved. Come on. Okay. Thank you. So, interestingly enough, like I said, we talked about this passage with some of my students a couple weeks ago, and I got about a 50-50 split from them also. And I was so surprised by that because I was sure every single one of them was going to put their hand in the air. Loving people is so much easier, or loving God is so much easier. And I asked one who had their hand up, why is loving God so much easier? And you may have ideas in your mind. And one student said, well, people are just annoying. And I know I'm not supposed to like really encourage, you know, talking bad about other people, but it's true. Sometimes people are really annoying. I forget the other difficult, I think was the other one that came out a lot. Some people are just really difficult, and it's true. They just are. And that's why often it's easier for us to love God, and even more so it's easier for us to even just think about loving God because we know that God loves us. We know that that God has created and saved and healed and all of these things, and that's awesome. And that no matter how many times we mess up or how many times we walk the other way, is that God will continue to love us. And people are not that simple. It just doesn't always happen that way. So since we understand that God has loved us, what John wants us to see here is because that's true. Verse 11 says, beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. It doesn't say because God loved us, we should love God. Instead, the call to action is to love one another, which most of the time is more difficult to do. Perhaps not always, but often it is the more difficult choice. John says that it makes no sense that you can, that a person can love God, who nobody has seen, when we have each other and are not yet loving each other and we can see one another. If God's love is perfect, John says that that love is perfected in our love for one another. That's a statement, honestly, I have a really hard time with because we talk about God being perfect, but then for John to say that we're a part of that, that the way we love each other shows God's love in such a way that we are a part of perfecting God's love. I think that's incredible that God would let us be a part of that because I don't know about you, I am not perfect at loving other people. I mess up daily, even with my best intentions. I mess up daily, yet God has invited us to be a part of what it means to show God's perfect love. I think that's incredible. So in this morning's text, love, John talks about love as the hoped for, common, the normative response, that this is what we would always go to, that we wouldn't reach for distance. We wouldn't reach for hate or disdain or anger, but that we would always reach for love first. He says that love is a perfect representation of God in everyone. I'm assuming you probably have had this experience at some point, that it's kind of difficult sometimes to explain who God is because there's a lot to explain. There's a lot to talk about. How do I explain who God is? But John breaks down the complexity of that, saying that, yes, all of those things that we said before, order and justice and all of those things, power, are really important. But if you want to show God to somebody, show them love, that is the perfect place to start. Because the other things can't fully be understood without understanding first that God is love. No matter how much this word is overused, no matter how much we use the word for silly things like different kinds of food or different places to visit, love is still a really difficult concept for us. We have all of these differences between us, differences in nation and religion and gender and generations and economics, and we have all of these rules. All of these different things have a particular set of guidelines that for you to be included into my loving circle, into the people that I'm willing to show love to, you have to kind of meet these checks on my list, right? There's a list of things that keep me safe, and you have to meet those things before I let you into this loving space. But when we think about that, even that act is unloving. Even if I decide that you are perfectly safe to let into this loving circle, that is such an unloving act that I have just taken time to judge who you are and if I can tolerate you, and all of those things, to make sure that you make the cut. And John says that none of those things are what true love is. None of those things are this perfected love that God has for us. But he says the reasons we go through these mental gymnastics is fear. We're afraid. In contemporary notions of love, in the way that we think about who we'll let in and who we won't, fear seems to be the thing that divides us the most. It keeps us the most separate. But love is an act of courage. The kind of love that abides in God, it disallows difference, guidelines, rules, regulations, anything that would keep us apart, anything that would keep us distant from each other. The love that abides in God, as expressed when people love one another, is not a love that contemplates purpose or result. It's pure and faithful. So John doesn't want us to consider how another person might fulfill our needs or might return our love before deciding if we'll show them love. Scrolling through Pinterest, I saw a quote that said, "Don't expect to get what you give. Not everyone has a heart like you." And I kind of smiled when I saw it because it was just a little encouraging thing in the middle of my day. And I realized it's not a biblical statement by any means, but I think it is in line with what John says here. He wants us to know that we show love because God loved us first, right? Not only is God love, but that's why we're able to show love. It doesn't matter if we'll receive it back in return. So John goes so far in this passage as to say, those who say, "I love God," and hate their brother or sisters are liars. I hate that term. That is one of my biggest anxieties, is to be caught in a lie. So to read, to have an author of Scripture write it like that makes me pay attention, I guess. So in light of John's writing so far throughout 1 John, as well as when you consider 2 and 3 John, we can understand how he's using brothers and sisters as members of the community of faith. So it's not that loving people outside of the community of faith, it's not that that's not important. It's not that John doesn't want us to or doesn't think it's important. It's not that that's not a part of the gospel. But how can we love those who are not a part of our community before we love those who are a part of our community? It's very similar to how John is saying, it's not that God isn't powerful, or it's not that God isn't justice, but before we understand that God is love, the other things don't matter. So he wants us to focus on loving the people who are in our line of vision. I wonder, looking around the room this morning, are there people in this space that you have tried to distance yourself from? For whatever reason, there's been hurt between you. Maybe you just don't have that much in common. But I wonder what difference Midland Reformed Church could make in the greater community if those rifts were fixed here. If we were able to love those people directly in our line of vision this morning, what might change? I think God could use us in even more and more powerful ways when we're able to love our brothers and sisters. When he uses the word hate, it doesn't necessarily just mean actively being aggressive towards somebody, right? It can also just mean disregard. Who are you distancing yourself from? Who do you just pretend doesn't exist because it's easier to pretend they don't exist? John says that we cannot treat people around us with disdain and still pretend that we love God. All throughout John's letters, he talks about the importance of love. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are all very short. I would encourage you to spend some time with them because the theme is very similar across all three. And he talks about how love is to be a priority in our lives. He gives us a few examples throughout these three letters of how to show love. The first one is that he says we show love when we keep God's commandments. And this is one reason he says it in a couple different places. I'm giving you a new commandment to love one another. That commandment is not new. We hear Jesus talk about it. We hear about it all throughout Scripture. So when we follow God's commandments, it's a way that we're showing love to one another. Second, we show love when we imitate God and sacrifice like Jesus. So he says, even in this scripture, that's how we know what love is, that God gave up his son. And finally, in the passage in the chapter before this, in 1 John 3, John tells us that we love one another by using our resources to provide for brothers and sisters in need, whether that's offering material resources during a difficult time, just offering time and conversation and support, or helping with a project at somebody's house. You can imagine the list that goes on and on with that. But instead of continuing to struggle with fear, instead of continuing to hold people at a distance, who might God be asking you to let in? Who might God be challenging you to take that step forward? Recognizing that it won't be easy. I don't think as much of Scripture would be focused on love if it was super easy for us. It's a challenge, and God knows that. But he doesn't want us to have this, to live in this place of fear. Instead, we're called to be a community of Christ. So this text warns us about giving up distance and disaffection for the pure love of God, which is love of one person seen, one to another. And we know that we're truly only capable of this because God loved us first. God doesn't ask us to do this on our own ever. But he does say that there's no place in the love of God for those who nurse grudges, seek revenge, assume superiority, or are careless with the feelings of others. Scripture reminds us that only the merciful are sure of mercy, and only the forgiving are sure of forgiveness. And only the loving heart lives in the love of God. Let's pray. God, as love is such a simple word, it should be a simple action, but we continue to struggle with it. God, I ask that you would encourage us this week. Open our eyes to relationships that need some tending. I ask that you would put a person in each of our minds this morning, a name, a face, that we can clearly see who you're calling us towards renewal of relationship with. Amen.